Give thanks. What a much to be thankful for today, including just getting out of bed this morning, being together and enjoying this amazing weather that God has blessed us with. Give thanks with a grateful heart. I give thanks for each of you and for your continued support of our mission here and our ministry here at our busy intersection, for all that we have yet to do and that yet is yet to come in the life of our church. By the way, happy birthday, church. This is around that time of year, the first Sunday of May back in 1959, when University Christian Church was launched as a mission church here at this intersection. It's an amazing story of generosity. We'll talk a little bit more about it in just a moment. But it's one of the things that we could give thanks for. So say happy birthday to yourself wherever you are this morning. You are celebrating 62 years of ministry. We are celebrating that together with God's help. And please know, throughout the chat, throughout the worship, you can say hello in the chat. And you can also share any prayer concerns that you would like lifted up a little bit later in the service. Just write those out. Please know they're public, so don't put anything sensitive, but you can place those and I will lift up a person, a situation, or even if you just ask for a prayer, for an unspoken prayer, I'd be happy to lift that up later in the service. Speaking of prayer, will you pray with me now? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts gathered, virtually gathered here, may they glorify you. May they draw us close to you. May they help us abide in you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, friends, I often like to dress up in a tie and things on a Sunday morning, but this morning I came a little bit dressed down in a good old classic flannel type shirt, and you can't see them, but some weather resistant pants I just recently purchased from Costco, which is a good thing here. But these are good pants for outdoor activities, and along with this wear, I also brought the hat I like to use when I go working out in the yard to catch, you know, the sweat dripping down. And it's also this, you know, celebrating the Stanley Cup champions, the Caps from 2018. I like to wear that hat. I also like to, you know, bring some work gloves, and I've got those this morning. I don't know if I'll wear them the whole sermon, but, you know, I can throw these on, especially when I'm getting my hands dirty. Oh, and of course I need some tools, and I got my spade here, called spade a spade, right? Good for digging into the soil, moving plants around, making openings in God's beautiful earth to get something happening, to plant seeds, to till the soil, to be a part of this creative process that we see around us in spring. I'm not going to be able to wear my gloves throughout my service, just because I have to move my little iPad here, right? Now, truth is, you've heard it before, I was not born with a green thumb, even though I grew up gardening with my family out in Oklahoma. I enjoy gardening. I envy those who can garden, but it just has not been my natural gift. I get pretty nervous when I am gardening. I always feel like anytime I mess with plants, I'm going to do more harm than good. Maybe you know what that is like. Just a year and a half ago or so, during one of our church cleanup days before the pandemic, when we could be together, I was tasked to go out in front of our church entrance. There's a whole line of bushes that line the entranceway, and I was tasked to take some shears and go and hack them apart. That's right. They asked me to do something destructive. It was kind of therapeutic. It felt good to get in there with a big set of shears and just chip away and trim at that bush. But I tell you, I was nervous because I gave the bushes a classic hack job, just like maybe a first-time hairstylist just out of their studies. It was not the prettiest thing I've ever done, I admit it. And when I was done with them, I kind of looked at those bushes and I was embarrassed and I was concerned that maybe I had killed them. Maybe I had trimmed too much because now there wasn't a whole lot of bush left, just what looked like a few prickly little stumps. But as it works out sometimes, just this past week, I was walking, pondering the scripture passage today when I noticed the bushes had bounced back during this amazing spring. Not only are they teeming with green and purple pink blooms, but their branches are once again looming out over the sidewalk. They need to be trimmed again. I wish you could see them this morning. Pruning, the act of cutting back portions of plants, surprisingly has the opposite effect than what we think on the surface. While we are snipping off ends and clearing away dead or overgrown branches, we are actually creating the possibility for growth, for fullness, for the plant to bounce back even stronger than before. It's kind of counterintuitive, and yet it's so beautiful, isn't it? I wonder, have you had moments in your life when it seemed like God was pruning you? Just like the bushes I did in front of our church entrance, did it feel like there were times where God was at work in your life, removing the dead branches, trimming back things? These might have been times of change and transformation and transition. They might have been lost, like a job or a relationship or a beloved person in your life. It might have been a rude awakening of truth when something you thought was working suddenly falls apart. It might have even been a confrontation with addiction or a habit or a way of looking at the world that you learned, embarrassingly, you must confront and overcome to move forward in life. We all have these moments. Sometimes we don't even know they are God at work until we can look back and remember how that thing we thought was so important and so vital for our growth, that thing we thought was blooming in our lives, was actually killing us. But what is true, and what we know and what we may learn someday, pruning is painful. It is not something we jump into easily or joyfully. Just like the bush I thought I hacked to death, it doesn't feel good, especially in the moment, to be poked and prodded and snipped at and molded and shaped. But if we can hold on, if we can endure, something better, as hard as it may be to see in the moment, can be on the way. Maybe this entire year of pandemic has begun a season of pruning for our lives as individuals and as families, and even for our lives as a church, and even maybe our lives as cities and communities, as we reassess what is truly important. And as painful as this has been, maybe something better is on the way at the end of this long process. Jesus uses this image of pruning in our passage today to make clear that being a disciple is about transformation. I love these stories that Jesus gives us, his parables and his teachings, that show that Jesus paid attention to the lives of average, ordinary people like you and I, like those in our community, people who work day jobs, who work with their hands, who till the soil. Jesus was very observant. And so these images and these metaphors become cross-cultural. Every culture values gardening and bringing fruit and vegetables and life out of the soil. So we can all resonate no matter how much experience we have had gardening in our lives. Jesus begins, just like we heard last week in his teaching about being a good shepherd, the good shepherd, by proclaiming that he is the true vine. The image he paints here is one of connectedness. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. As branches, our role is to bear fruit, delicious fruit that reflects Jesus' commandment that he gives to his disciples later in the gospel. Love one another as I have loved you. And he even put that witness into action by getting down on his hands and knees and washing his disciples' feet. He put it into action through acts of healing, through noticing the outcasts and affirming those women and men and siblings and friends out in the community who felt pushed to the edges or marginalized or judged. Jesus welcomed them back in. And Jesus even exhibited this love on the cross, witnessing to life overcoming death, good conquering evil. Love then, love embodied, love in community, in God's community, in the church, is our fruit. Love is the fruit this world that is full of injustice, violence, inequality, and hurt needs. Note then that bearing fruit is not about success. It's not about fame. It's not about having a big bank account. It's not about being perfect. It's not even about having a big church with lots of members. Bearing fruit is about exhibiting the radical, transforming love of God in this world. God's role in this image is, as Jesus describes, the vine grower, the farmer who cultivates the soil and provides the wind, sun, and water to nourish the vine. And therefore, if we want to grow as disciples, in fact, the only way to grow is to remain connected to that vine and therefore connected deeply to God, who is our parent. Can you imagine the audacity of a branch that decides it can detach itself from the vine and bear fruit on its own? Or even any old branch from a tree around here. How many branches in Maryland, with all these beautiful trees we have, they fall to the ground and they do not keep growing? I kind of think of it as some of those big famous rock bands and pop bands who at some point break up and some of the singers go solo, releasing their own albums. But in Jesus's teaching this morning, there is no going solo. Apart from God, there is simply no possibility to bear fruit, to exhibit the true, deep, radical love of God. And so, like any good gardener, God will prune those branches that are not bearing fruit. This word prune is actually used interchangeably with the word cleanse in this passage. God, as the vineyard grower, will cleanse the vine of those branches that are decaying, that are lacking life, that are not fulfilling their purpose, those that are trying to go solo and not stay rooted and connected and exhibit the love of God through Jesus Christ. So God steps in to snip and shape us so we can fulfill our purpose. And if worse comes to worse and we fail to live into the image of God in which we were created, we will be tossed into the fire, used like kindling. It is a real image, an image that is definitely true to any of us who have gardened a day in our life and have seen something wither with frustration. But also real when we have experienced success in gardening and seen a plant coaxed back to life, flowering and producing delicious fruit that we are blessed to share. And it's real as we think about all in this world who are blessed with life and choose to use it to do anything but bear witness to the love which gave them breath and the love which sustains them. Being pruned, as Jesus knew quite well, was not a pleasant experience. It could seem frightening. These words were uncomfortable for his disciples to hear. It could seem on the surface that Jesus is asking too much of us. To be pruned sounds like we are being asked to strip away those parts of ourselves that we are convinced define who we are, like our stature, our education, our salary, our stability. And yet, if we go over to the other side of this process, if we dare let God work this pruning in our lives, we discover something that we may have not ever thought possible. Growth and fullness and wholeness. Just like the bushes on the walkway into our church building, sometimes we must be cut back. Sometimes we must let go to bear fruit. Sometimes to do something good and well, we must drop things and release things to God to make room for what God and the Spirit is prepared to do in our midst. Now, friends, in my own life, I can point to this truth. I continue to be pruned by God. Over a year ago, I was experiencing days of intense high blood pressure. This is right before the pandemic hit. I simply wasn't well, and my normal methods of sort of coping were not helping. Yes, I was. There was a lot going on in my life. And luckily, I was able to get in to see my doctor and get some blood work done just like literally before they shut everything down for a time with the pandemic. She was blunt and truthful with me. She was the voice of God in my life in that moment. She said, "Nathan, you need to make some changes." I started on medication. I began to exercise more. I began trying, most days at least, to eat better. I thank my wife for that. She is a wonderful cook and has challenged me to be more mindful of what I eat. Over a year later, I have lost weight. I feel better. My blood pressure is back to normal. It hasn't been easy, of course. I miss eating those Five Guys burgers. Oh, man. I used to go in and get a regular cheeseburger with like two patties, but I can't do that anymore. But as I sat there with the doctor listening to her words, I thought about all the times I have told you as a church how important it is to do what your doctor says and to take care of your body. For we are branches connected to the vine, and if we're not taking care of ourselves, how can we blossom and grow into the fullness of the fruit that God envisions for us? How can I stand here and be your pastor and say I love you when I am not willing to take care of my branch? Care for my soul and my body in the same way that I call you to. How can I witness to God's power over racism, over death and division in this time if I am trying to go solo? My pruning, truth be told, is still a process. I have much yet to do, and I know many of you are on a similar path. Are you in a season of pruning? Are you aware of something you need to release or let go of? Are you afraid of the pain and change that is going to come if you let God move and snip and shape you? If so, I know and share in that. And I share good news, too, that the other side is worth it. The end result is worth it. May you pray this day that God can move and shape you as God needs. But church, there's another dimension to this too. In our life, we as a community of faith can point to this truth. In 1959, on the first Sunday in May, University Christian Church was born, a product of the thoughtful, prayerful pruning of our mother church, Mount Rainier Christian Church. Mount Rainier sent over 100 of its members to help create and birth this mission church, a church that 62 years later today exhibits the fruitful ministry and faith in our God. Through baptisms, through Christian education and spiritual growth, through prayer and care and celebration and transformation and service, we have proclaimed God's love at our intersection. How painful must it have been for Mount Rainier Christian Church to let itself be pruned and cut back, and yet all in order to bear fruit and expand God's community? How many other stories are there like that throughout the life of our church, throughout our history? Moments when something seemed to lie fallow for a season, and then God used that opening to bring life. And so, church, I think we are in such a season again. In this past year of the pandemic, we have witnessed to God's love in so many ways, namely moving our worship services online to global impact, turning our busy intersection into a sacred ground for the support of Black lives, transforming Zoom sessions into Bible study and Bible bingo hours, using our emails and texts and phone calls to stay safe and yet remain connected through prayer, love, and care. We have not launched new ministries that are bearing fruit, like our Blessing Box ministry and our redesigned kitchen, which you'll hear about in a moment. And yet we have lost two in this season. We have released some of our beloved church members, saints who are now rewarded eternally with God, folks that we will not replace easily. We have had some members of our community who have gone to look for another place, another church where they feel called to bear fruit, and we bless them on that journey. We have experienced disruption in some of our practices and traditions, which we believe in the past were so important and so vital for how we do church, that now are kind of like those dead branches that aren't doing a darn thing. And we have learned the hard lessons that some things we do and have been doing for a long time are simply not bearing fruit. So in this coming mission year, as we take steps to implement our future story of where we feel God is calling us to move over the next 5 to 10 years as a community of faith, we are entering a season of pruning, asking God to remove the dead branches so that once again we may burst into fullness and wholeness, reflecting God's love in this hurting world. How do we do this? Well, Jesus' command to his disciples is to abide in him. Abide sounds passive and active to me. It's a very interesting verb, but on one hand, it means like to sit with Jesus, to hang out with Jesus, to linger with Jesus. But it also sounds like sometimes we have to go find Jesus ourselves, wherever he is, however he is on the move. So we abide through prayer and study of Scripture. We abide through active listening to one another. We abide through difficult conversations. We abide by trusting in God. We abide by showing up for our neighbors. We abide by waiting and watching and learning. We abide by letting go and letting God do the painful work of changing who we are and who we need to be. In this coming mission year, beginning in July, I propose then a following vision for us as a community of faith to guide our next 12 months together and maybe beyond, that we might grow inward so that we might grow outward. In short, grow inward to grow outward. If you're at home and you feel comfortable, say that with me. Grow inward to grow outward. Kind of an easy thing to say and remember, right? Our future story, which is on our website and I invite you to read, describes a vision of our church where we are engaged afresh in our community through mentorship, relationship, and through the sharing and cultivation of fruit at this intersection. It's a vision, too, that includes a sense that we are cultivating deep roots connected to the true vine, the life-giving vine, to carry us forward in our work. And one of the scenes of a little girl describes it something where she is on a swing. She says our church had to swing back so that it might swing forward once again. I think our coming mission year is such a year for this fruitful work. We must begin to cultivate the souls and our bodies and our spirits inwardly so we can swing forward again into God's vibrant, fruit-bearing future for our lives and our community. So say it with me. Grow inward to grow outward. Grow inward to grow outward. That's our vision for this year in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, friends, may we abide in Christ, the true vine, who roots us in God's love and vision of wholeness for our world. May we bear the kind of fruit that makes a difference for another 62 years. May God prune us and shape us and cleanse us anew. Glory be to God, our Father, to the Spirit, to the Son, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen.